Amen. You know, Yanni's totally right. I really, really, truly believe that this word is from the heart of God. I had it burning in my heart the whole week, and I phoned Nita yesterday, or was it the day before? It was the day before, yesterday, just to say what's on your heart, and just to let her know what I was going to be speaking on, and stuff like that. And before I even said anything to her, she pretty much told me what God, thank you, what God had put in my heart. Thank you. And it just confirmed the goodness of God. You know, God is so good. You know, we're all hearing from him, and he's speaking to us all the time. He loves to communicate with us. But the subject today is about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And because we're going to be speaking about the person of the Holy Spirit, I want us to be very sensitive to him. When we speak about him, he is present. And I'm asking you to please, if you need to rush off at the end of the service, you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Okay, you cannot do it when there's a movement of the Holy Spirit happening. Be sensitive, okay? I'm asking you very nicely, so. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, concerning the spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Paul's speaking to the Corinthians, and it's a very important subject because there really is an ignorance in the church concerning the Holy Spirit. A lot of us are afraid to go there because we don't understand. And a lot of churches don't go there at all because they feel it is an unnecessary part of life in the Lord, which is ridiculous. So I want to dispel some ideas about the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, if you don't know about the Holy Spirit, just to tell you a few things about him. First and foremost, he is a person. He's a beautiful person. He's the most beautiful person you will ever meet. We first hear about him in Genesis 1, at the very beginning he was there. In Genesis 1, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. He was always there. He's the third party. He's the third part of the Trinity, the triune God. The Bible calls him the Paraclito, which means the helper, the one who intercedes. He's the most beautiful person you'll ever meet. When we are saved, Ephesians 1:13b says, when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So when you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. Okay? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. At salvation, the Holy Spirit becomes resident in you as a new believer. Okay? Amen? Everybody with me? So when you got saved, he became resident. But when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he becomes president. He has the authority. He has the power to transform your life. So he goes from just being resident in your life to being president of your life. That is who the Holy Spirit is. That is what, as a background, just to give you an idea, what it means to be filled in with the Holy Spirit. Okay. When we talk about being president, we're not talking about a president that you voted in once in your life, that you don't really believe in or know anything about. While I was doing this, I was reminded of the week of Jubilee, the celebration of the Queen. I mean, I don't know if any of you saw any of that footage, but the people actually camped out on the sidewalk for days to get a glimpse, to get their position on the sidewalk, to get a glimpse of the Queen. And when she passed, it was a second. That was it. They stayed out there for days just to get a second. And they screamed and they fainted. I mean, it was insane. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And And it was like they were begging for more. Now that's the kind of president we're talking about, that kind of authority, that kind of hunger for more that God is talking about. Okay? Because he says we must be hungry for more of him. Are you guys with me? I'm just trying to create a bit of a background for you. So today's sermon is entitled Aching for More. I really do believe that this is what God is telling us. He's saying, seek after me. Push into me. This is the grand prize. This is the pearl of great treasure. It's seek after me. So I'm going to share two practical aspects of the filling in of the Holy Spirit with you. And that is the why and then the how. Hoping to stir up in you first this hunger, this desperation. And then I'm going to hopefully take you by the hand and we're going to do it together. So the first why we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit is, number one, to live as Jesus lived. We are told in the Word to live the life that Jesus lived. But you see, often we think that Jesus was immortal, so he, of course he could do what he did. He is God. Of course he could walk the way he walked. I'm just human. Have you ever heard that? How many times I've heard that? Don't expect too much of yourself. You know, we're just human. But you don't understand. You see, God left his divinity. He's eternally God, yes, but he left his divinity. And when he came to earth, he came as a man. He was completely man. And in Matthew 3, after John the Baptist baptized him in water, he also got filled with the Spirit. The Spirit descended on him as a dove. Do you all know the story? Okay. And at that point, he was filled with the Spirit, because the Bible says he was full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit went into the wilderness. So do you see that he was a man filled with the Spirit, and then he started the ministry that God called him to. He walked the divine walk that God called him, the godly life that God called him to. Now, we need to be filled with the Spirit because we are called to live a godly life. We are called to live the life that Jesus lived. So the Holy Spirit came upon him and enabled him. It made it possible for him to do the miracles that he did. You see, Jesus was in the Old Testament. We see how David, well, various tabernacles, various houses of God were built. There was the Ark of the Covenant. There was the various, the one that Solomon built. There was different temples. But Jesus Christ actually was the first house of God on earth. Do you follow that? He was the house of God. God came and he indwelt in Jesus on this earth. So Jesus actually, he released God's kingdom on the earth. And he said, greater things will you do. We are expected to follow in the footsteps. I read this quote and I actually don't remember whose it was, but it says, baptism in the Holy Spirit is more than just an experience for us to marvel over, but the experience is what introduces us to the lifestyle of Christ. See, we have the experience, but unless you actually allow it to introduce you to the lifestyle, you're just somewhere sort of stuck on an experience you had some time ago. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to live like Jesus in this world. 1 John 4:17 says, and we live in God, and we live in God, as we live in God, sorry, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. The Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Have you heard that? It's not just a being filled. It's like this bottle of water. Do you think it's full? It looks full, and some might call it full. But unless it's actually full to the brim, unless it's actually running over, it's not full. Is that not true? Unless it's actually filling every air bubble, every bit of air in there, and it's running over, it's not full. That is what we call to be. Actually, I'm going to have a sip of that, but I'll have a sip of this one. We're called to be full, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Jesus was continually filled with the Spirit. So it says here, Luke 4:1, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So he only did what the Spirit of God showed him. He says, I only do what my Father tells me. I only do what he shows me. It was only by what the Spirit of God showed him. He lived from an overflow. And we are to follow in his footsteps. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Have you read that before? Do you know that scripture? We receive power to go out. 1 John 1, walk in the light as he is in the light. Guys, it's impossible for us to go out and subdue the kingdom, to take the kingdom, to fight principalities and powers without this Holy Spirit. It is impossible. So this is the why, number one. Why number two? To love as Jesus loved. I've often used the scripture because I absolutely love the scripture because it just blows my mind. 1 John 3:16. Jesus tells us, don't get it confused with John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, he says, love each other as Christ has loved the church to the point of giving up your life for one another. Instead, we run around biting each other's heads off. If we are to truly be his disciples, if we are truly to follow to the point of the cross, if we are truly to love one another to the point of dying for one another, we need to be filled in by the Spirit. There was this joke that I heard about a woman, and you might have heard it, but she got bitten by a rabid dog. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with this, so I'm just going to tell you anyway. But she gets bitten by this rabid dog, and she gets rabies. And the doctor says, look, I'm really terribly sorry, but you are going to die, and it's best you put your affairs in order. So she starts to furiously write, and he sees her writing, and she's writing, and he says to her, wow, you've got a lot of affairs to put in order. That is a very long will. She says, it's not a will. It's all the people I'm going to bite. And that's what we like. We just want to go run around biting each other. It's nothing to do with love. But it's the opposite of love. But truly, if we're going to love the way we were told to love, and it is a command, we need to be Spirit-filled. We need to see people as God sees them. Because you know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't see each other's shortcomings. You don't see the little quirks that we, you know, that bother us. You see what the Spirit of God sees. And guys, that's where we need to be. I'm really urging us, encouraging us today. That's where we need to be. That's how we're going to be set apart, known. So the first reason is to live as Jesus lived. The third is to love as Jesus loved. And the third reason is to reach out like Jesus reached out. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can give us a full revelation of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Without a revelation from the Holy Spirit, we don't understand who Jesus is. We don't understand what Jesus did on the cross. Okay? But when he does come and give you a revelation, it's supposed to be a flow. You receive the revelation of Jesus, you give it. The Bible talks about living in the Spirit like being in a river. It doesn't say sitting in a lake, a stagnant lake. It talks about being in a river. A river flows. And that's where our walk, that is where reaching out like Jesus comes in. It's receiving that revelation of what Jesus did, and then you give it. You flow. And that's how you reach the people. I've got another quote here. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is not for our comfort. He's there to flow through us and to change the geography around us. It's powerful, hey? It's not for our own comfort, guys. It's not to kick back and just say, well, I was baptized, I'm cushy, I'm happy. It's to stir you up, to give you such an incredible love for the lost, and to give and to just from that place of overflow, when you're sitting in that place where you're meeting with the Most High, you're understanding the glory of His presence, you understand the future of where you're going, that you start to overflow. The what happened was Acts 2. It's a really amazing story. I hope you've all read it. Acts 2 is where the disciples, the 120 disciples, they're in the upper room. Okay? It's called Pentecost. Has anyone heard of Pentecost? So please can I have a show of hands? Okay, some people are here this morning. The rest of you, good night. Okay, seriously. Pentecost was in the upper room. Okay. Where 120 of the followers of Christ waited for the Spirit to come. He actually told 500 to go and wait for Him. Do you know that? Okay. 380 dropped out. 380 had other things to do. 380 people had somewhere else to be. Okay. But 120 went and they waited in the upper room. They had a united prayer. They prayed and waited, united. And then what happened? Does anybody know? Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came like a wind, and there was flames over their heads. And then they started to speak in a whole lot of tongues. Okay? And then the multitude, it says the people from all the world were there, all the known world, okay? And they all got saved. 300 people got saved that day. Okay? It was a lot. It was revival. But what happened? Do you know what happened? Does anybody know what happened in that place? It wasn't the tongues of fire. And you know what? It wasn't even the languages. People often think that because the people from every corner of the earth heard them speaking in their language, they got saved. But that's not what happened. When they started, when the Holy Spirit brought the revelation of Jesus Christ to the disciples, to the 120 waiting in the upper room, when they got the revelation of who Jesus was, what happened? They started to praise. And the Bible says a noise. They heard a noise. Okay? And the noise lifted the veil. The noise opened their eyes and their ears to the truth. That's why they got saved. Let me explain it like this. Has anyone been to London or New York? Okay. If you walk around any of those two cities, they're hubs. They're not really, I mean, you can't say London is England. You can't say New York is America. Okay, they're hubs. They are places from where people from all over the world come and go. Okay, and you're in the subways and you're hearing every single language. I mean, you hardly ever hear English. Even in London, it's so funny because sometimes I'd say to Yanni, what language are they speaking? He'd say English. I'd be like, oh. Never heard English like that. But there's such dialects of English. Even the English doesn't sound English. Do you know what I'm saying? There's people from every single place. But when you're standing there in the subway, you don't suddenly want to give your heart to the Lord. But you're hearing every single language of the world all around you. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't the languages that they spoke. What happened was they were sitting in that upper room waiting as God had told them to do. Okay? And the Holy Spirit came. And He brought a revelation of Jesus Christ. And what happened? They all started to praise. Yes, in different languages, but it was one heart, one unity, and they praised. And what happened? That praise reached out, and 300 got saved. 3,000, sorry. There we go. I knew the number was far too little. Revival, 300. Okay, thank you. 3,000 got saved. Okay, you're a little bit more excited. You understand what happened there? So this is what we're doing here today. Amen. We are looking for revival. We're looking to live the life that Jesus lived, to love the way that Jesus loved, and to reach out the way He did. And the only way to do that is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. People, we owe the world a Holy Spirit-filled life. We need to live that life. We owe the world an encounter with God. Only if we stay full, only if we stay full can we reach out. Only from an overflow. So those are the three whys. And now I'm hoping I've stirred up in you a little bit of excitement as to know how. Does anybody here want to know how? Okay, firstly, we've got to get back to the cross. We've got to go back to the foot of the cross. You've got to go back to the place where you surrendered all. It's back to the place where you're willing to count the cost. You're willing to actually make him Lord of everything. You're not holding anything back. See, it doesn't count when you sit there. And let me tell you, I've experienced this. I weep for this. I have been weeping for this for a long time. For the church. Guys, we're not living in God's best. We're not living in the power that he's promised we can have. God wants us not to be ignorant. He wants us to know the power of his Spirit, the manifestation of his Spirit in our meetings. Not a place where we come on a Sunday, we have a bit of a chat, and we go out and eat our chicken. It's the revival, guys. It's the time. It's the latter rain. I mean, don't you realize? Jesus is coming. He's coming soon, and there's a lot of people who don't know him. There's a lot of people who don't have what we have, and we cannot stand here and just holy huddle. And only by the Spirit of God can we take him to the world. But if we are not standing there at the foot of the cross saying, God, everything for your Spirit, everything, God, not my identity, not my townhouse, not anything, not my dreams for children, nothing is above God in your life. Guys, I urge you to cry out for God, more of God. Ache for God. Ache for him. Go back to the cross and reconnect with your Savior. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly. We must be willing to deny ourselves. Number two, continuous waiting on God. I don't know about you, but I remember when I first got saved. I always tell Yanni this. His eyes actually glaze over now every time I talk about it because I used to walk with him, talk with him, eat with him. I've told you guys this often. I was newly saved and I smoked like a trooper. I mean, I smoked 24/7. I smoked when I opened my eyes. I smoked just before I closed them. And I was radically saved. And I used to read the Bible and I used to smoke up a storm, like reading the Bible, not religious. And I used to say to him, this is amazing. Like, this is so good. But hold on, I need to talk to you, but I want to finish the cigarette. Because somehow I knew that it didn't go very well. But I used to like finish my cigarette and I said to him, tell me about this. Tell me, this is amazing. I'll never forget when I first realized that we are royal priesthoods, you know, and all that kind of thing. And I'd be like whooping and running around telling everybody. I walked with him. I spoke with him. And guys, it's that person, that presence, that peace that passes understanding. You live in it. Nothing is impossible. You are above par. I used to get out of my car at work and people used to say to me, Kat, what are you on? Honestly, I was high on the Lord. I used to do crazy stuff. I used to walk into any place. I used to walk into, I lived in Johannesburg and the Hells Angels had their headquarters in Germiston. And I used to club before I got saved. And so I knew some of the girlfriends and everything. I used to drive in my little Uno, drive up to the Hells Angels headquarters and witness to all the girlfriends. And then get them saved, get them in my car and take them away with me. And these guys were like beasts. And they used to look at me and they used to say, are you mad coming here? Do you know who we are? And I'd be like, I'm a child of God. Do you know who I am? I mean, this is the Spirit of God in me. Do you understand? The boldness, the place that we are to live. And then what happens? We become religious. We become busy. We become, what happens? We make our quiet time an appointment. We make our quiet time a task. We make it a goal. Instead of a lifestyle and a relationship. That's what happens. I'm urging you, ache for what you had in the beginning. The Bible says, go back to what you had. Don't lose that first love. That's what we're doing here today, guys. We're going to beg God for that. So it's a continuous walk. It's a continuous lifestyle and a prayer. But then it's adding something else. It's adding, that's the third one, of how. There was a form here somewhere. Okay, the third one is add faith to your passion. You see, I've seen people who have the passion, but they don't have the faith. The Bible says we're all given a portion of faith. So don't you dare come and tell me you don't have the faith. You were given a portion of faith. You use that faith. You believe that Jesus says, I reward those who diligently seek me. Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. So add to your passion faith. God wants to meet you. God wants to fill you. He wants to indwell in you. You are the temple of God. Know that. Ask for it. Receive it. Don't walk around. I've seen people who, they run around, but then they land up doing a bunch of religious things, a bunch of religious exercises. It's not like that, guys. You have the passion. God wants to meet it. Guaranteed. Okay, and so he will. I did tell you today was going to be quite a different service, so it's a very short word I had to share with you. But it's a very, very important word. I could talk about the Holy Spirit for the rest of my life, and I'm actually hoping I will. I really want to, because he's amazing, and there's so much to tell you. We could talk about the gifts. We could talk about so many amazing things. Okay, but that's all I wanted to tell you today. I want to stir you up. I want to stir you up out of a place of apathy. He wants to encounter with you today. The Bible calls that word pagar. It's a kiss. It's a meeting place. It's an encounter. And it also means intercession. Okay, it's an intercession. He wants to come into your life and meet with you today. And you know what? We're going back to what we spoke about in Acts 2. In that place that they were, they praised. You see, our praise opens up the heavens. Our unity opens up the heavens. The only thing we can honestly be united on is one thing, guys. God is good. I guarantee you there's very little else that we can 100% agree on the same level. God is good. God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of love. That's all we can agree on. And today we're going to do that. We're going to stand together and agree on one thing. We're going to sing praises to our God. We are going to worship the living God. And we are going to reverence the Spirit of God. We are going to seek Him to move in our hearts, to light a flame for each of us. Who wants a flame? I want one, big one over my head. Okay, are you with me? All right, so we're just going to stand together now. Will you all stand for me? Guys, do you understand that revival is here? Do you understand that the kingdom of God is at hand? Amen. And the kingdom of God is being filled by the Spirit of God. That is the kingdom of God. It's being the kingdom, his lordship, okay? Amen.